Bob Carson is no stranger to readers of Trot magazine. He is a syndicated columnist who writes for Trot, writes for USTA, among others, and he's written an interesting article that draws parallels between minor league baseball and our game of harness racing. Both are pastoral sports. Both enjoyed some heady times back in, say, the 40s and 50s, and that's where the similarities end in terms of what happened from there, right, Bob? I mean, baseball has come back from its abyss. Harness racing, not so good yet.
Yeah, that's right, Norm. It's a little bit sad that harness racing hasn't been able to keep pace, if you'll pardon the sad pun there, but minor league baseball has taken off, and I think there are definitely some lessons that we could learn from them in the harness race industry, and hopefully it's not too late, and we will.
One of the things that you point out, and you talk to a gentleman by the name of Miles Wolf, who's a leading marketer of baseball, is that while we have to respect our core, they're not the ones that are going to take us into the next generation. We have to reach out to a whole new audience, and we have to do things that are so far out of the box, much like what baseball at the minor league level has done.
Yeah, I think that's right, Norm, and I think you hit it right on the head, and that was one of the most interesting things that Miles ever told me. As a matter of fact, Miles operates a very successful Canadian franchise up there in Quebec, and I was talking to him about this one time, and he says, when it comes to marketing, we basically forget about the hardcore baseball fan. They're going to come. You know, they've already made their choices, and they're going to stick like barnacles on a ship. So I don't even think about them. When I'm marketing, I'm thinking about new people. And I think this is a scenario that's been difficult for horse racing to wrap their minds around. We like to think that the horses and the gambling are the show. And in today's world, particularly today's world, I don't think that's necessarily the case. The gamblers have a lot of places to gamble, and even if they like horses, they can gamble on the Internet. So, we can't just open the doors and expect people to come and gamble to watch horse racing.
Well, you know, the thinking has been so insular in that regard, and no disrespect to the listeners of this program and people that view the Standard Bread Canada website that are invariably going to write in and say, if you want to bring more people to the track, reduce the takeout rates. Look, the average Joe that we're trying to reach that hasn't been to a track is going to be happy to cash a $2 show ticket. You're right. It's not what it's all about. It's about the overall entertainment package.
If you want to gamble and follow horse racing these days, you don't need to go to the racetrack. And the mantra used to be handle, 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 handle. Well, actually, that's not true for the people that are targeted for the new audiences. Quite frankly, they don't care if they win or lose. They're coming for a social experience. It's a completely different ballgame. Gamblers and people that come just for fun are a completely different audience. It's like comparing fish and birds. They're completely different people. And, our fish are gamblers. Let's keep them. But let's see if we can get a new audience, because really, at the end of the day, Norm, it's our only hope, and we really have those seats that are empty. We may as well try to fill them with whoever we can.
Very true. Now, the challenge is going to be this: convincing racetracks that it'd be a really good idea to have, for example, Awful Night. Tell us about that night that was held at Altoona, Pennsylvania, the minor league team there, the Altoona Curve. They had a night called Awful Night. Tell us about that.
They tried to think of the worst things that you can think of, like to eat Spam or whatever it might be. Everybody had to make their contribution. But, that's an interesting thing about the minor leagues is we feel in racing that we're a little bit, I don't know why, superior, mm-hmm. and we really can't make fools of ourselves, and we don't want to get down and get silly. I think we have a little bit of an elitist attitude about us, but I once had a minor league general manager say to me, Bob, there's absolutely no level I won't stoop to put people in the seats. that kind of stuck with me, and if you want to have duct tape night or bad toupee night, you know, God bless you. If you can get people in the door, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and they're not going to go and bother the hardcore gamblers. It's not like they're going to come up to them and go, hey, who do you like? They're there to have a few beers and enjoy the night. And the more entertaining you can make it, obviously, the better it's going to be. One of the points that Mr. Wolf brings out, he said, if I rely on baseball fans, 500 people a night will come to see the game. It's a between-inning stuff, the gimmicks, where the non-baseball fan is a great evening. There is a key right there, the non-racing fan.
You know, that's right. And actually, we're very lucky, I think, in horse racing, although we don't realize it. The hardcore gamblers, they will stick with us, and they don't need to come to the racetracks. We can almost operate on two different planes. You know, believe me, if you're going to Woodbine and you're going to gamble $10,000, you know, you don't want a sumo wrestler and an Elvis impersonator dancing down the aisle. You know, you want to stay home and you want to make your gambling. So I really would almost take a radical view. Let the gamblers stay home. Let the money people churn their way through the pools, online, whatever they want to do. Maybe the racetrack should be a completely different experience.
I agree, and I think, and you know, I have a theory here. Of course, every guy in this game has a theory, but you know, I think that horse racing, harness racing in particular, is sitting on a great opportunity because, like baseball, they're pastoral sports, and we may not necessarily get the high-tech generation right now, but maybe down the road, maybe their kids who will reject what their parents' lifestyle is all about will want to go back to those pastoral days. We're sitting on an opportunity right now to try and grab that audience and bring it along, I think.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, a real interesting conversation I had one time with a guy who was working at a successful minor league franchise. And don't get me wrong, Norm, they're not all successful. I mean, you know, a lot of these minor league baseball teams that I've covered through the years, they went belly up. I mean, it's not the wild success that people think it is. But if you have a successful franchise and you want to just stick to the core people, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have to get to that new audience. And this general manager actually told me one time, he says, Bob, you know, I think, from what I know about harness racing, I could do a better job promoting harness racing than baseball because it's a more exciting sport in a lot of respects. You know, baseball is slow and it's kind of dull, and they don't have the beautiful animals. And it was very interesting for me to hear him say that, you know, if he was starting from scratch, he wouldn't mind taking a crack at an empty racetrack.
Really?
Really?
Fascinating. Yeah. Well, you know, he does make a point. And like I said, I think we're sitting on a huge, huge opportunity here. I'll give you a case in point. We had a night here where, when gas prices were through the roof, we did a promotion with a local gas company where we gave away gas coupons. We filled the joint.
Yeah.
And they weren't there for the racing. No, they're for free gas, you know, but they were there, and we were introducing them to the game. I don't know if you know Kelly Spencer down at Grand River. She's a real firecracker. She's one of those people that gets what you're talking about, and the between-race promotions at Grand River that we see on our simulcast, some of them have nothing to do with harness racing, and that's okay.
I actually read about Kelly somewhere this weekend. I think she had an article. There was an article in the Hoofbeats about her. But she does seem like she really does get it. And, you know, Norm, I could go to one of these very successful minor league franchises, and if I wandered through the stands, let's take Dayton, Ohio, for example. They sell out basically every game every season. And I wandered through the crowds, and I asked those people, why are you here tonight? And they would say something, well, I want to win that free used car.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I love the Myron Noodleman act, or it's my church night, or it's fun, or my dad bought me and I just want to see the pastoral history about it.
Yeah.
Probably to see baseball played would be number 15 on the list. And, you know, I think that's something that harness racing or horse racing in general needs to get their hands around it. We're not talking to the choir. We're talking to new people. And
bingo.
Transition we can make.
Well, I certainly hope that those of us in our game take heed, because what you're saying is right on the mark. It's something a lot of us have said in this industry, and you've had the guts to come out and say it and say, look, Let's take another totally different tact off the beaten path. Bob Carson, a real pleasure talking to you. Continue good work with your syndicated articles. Look forward to reading your stuff in Trot Magazine and USTA. Thanks for being on Trot Radio.
Well, thank you so much, Norm, and I enjoy listening to your podcast. You do a great job. Let's keep fighting the fight, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.